Thursday, October 3rd, 2013. It's 2 p.m. This is Mario Lawson. Welcome to Inside the Brahma Box, the show that focuses on the lives and the culture between the 101, the 118, the 405, and Topanga Canyon Boulevard, Highway 27. Today we're here with Kelvin Truitt, pastor of the Living Room Network and, you know, organizer of My First Fridays, you know, this event platform that he does. But, you know, I basically brought Kelvin Truitt in because I wanted to sit down and talk to him about, you know, the Living Room Network and his lifestyle. And most of you guys probably have seen him around, probably have talked to him, probably have even gone to church with him, you know, and don't know some of the things about, you know, his history and his past. So I'd like to thank Pastor Kelvin Truitt for coming and welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Good, good. I first wanted to start from with where you're from originally, you know, because a lot of people don't know that you're not from Los Angeles.
Yes, yes. I was actually born here in Inglewood in Southern California, and I was raised in Sacramento.
Now, I didn't know that.
Yeah, my family moved to Sacramento, I believe it's like 1992 or something like that. Yeah, and so I spent, you know, all of my childhood and up through high school out in Sacramento.
Oh, wow. Was there a reason why you're... parents moved to Sacramento? Or?
Well, yeah, you know, obviously in the late 80s, the gang activity was really high, and we lived in South Central, and I have an older brother. He's 6 years older than me, and so my parents just wanted to give him the best opportunity that they could for him not to be involved with that lifestyle, and so they bought some property there. They went to see it one time, and then the next thing we know, our family's in the car. We're driving to this place we've never seen before, and they are still there to this day.
Wow. Yeah. Now, when you compare it to, I mean, for you personally, when you compare it to living down here and living up there,
Some people say that the L.A. moves really fast, and others say the Sacramento moves really slow. So I feel like there's benefits to both. You know, obviously the family structure, it's more intact in a slower city. Mm-hmm. But when you're trying to do things and you're trying to build an empire, you're trying to build business and relationships, being in Southern California is more to my taste, you know.
Tell me about it.
And obviously to all of our listeners out there, they like living in Southern California.
Well, you know, as I told everybody, you're a pastor, you know. And how did you become a pastor or ordained minister? How did that start for you?
Oh, it really started out of being hard-headed, you know. I grew up in church, and I fastly found my way out of church, doing things that, you know, that we do. However, I just felt an extreme call on my life, and I wanted to do something that was that had a purpose. I wanted to help people. I wanted to give the gift that was given to me, you know.
When did you first feel that calling?
I think I was about 16 years old. 16 years old, and I felt it. And then again at about 22, I really took it seriously. So I went to ministry school, you know, just accountability at my church. And then I was ordained as a minister, and I served in a youth department.
How old were you when you were ordained?
I was ordained as a pastor at age 28.
Wow.
And as a minister at age 23. So it was about 5 years apart. And yeah, so I just, you know, I just figured that my life is better being obedient to God than it is, you know, doing other things. So that's how I came to be. And I just wanted to be somebody that was down to earth, that was reachable, and that can give people what they needed as well as what they wanted in the package of ministry, you know.
Now, I hear you went to college locally. In the Brahma box, I call it.
Yes.
Where did you go to school?
Yeah, here in the Brahma box. I never heard it called that before. But yeah, I went to school at Cal State Northridge, where I was a business major and finished there in 2005.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. And that's, I find that interesting. You know, I mean, what was your major? I mean, you said business, right?
Yeah, business administration was my major.
Okay, so you took that major, and what did you actually made something happen with it?
Yes, yes. For all the business majors there, you know that you have to intern, do so many intern hours for a company. And during my intern hours, I actually started my own business. You know, I started in the Zone Barbershop, which is located in the Brahma box, as you will. We're over in Granada Hills. And I got that established in 2004. So it's about a year before I actually graduated college. So I was working in my own company while doing my intern hours. And really, it was just, I didn't want to go back to Sacramento. You know, a lot of people give me credit like, oh, you had this profound business plan. And I was like, after college, either I stay here and do something or go home. And so I just stepped out on faith and I stayed here and I did something. And that was about 10 years ago. So,
wow. 10 years ago?
Yeah, it will be 10 years in January.
Wow. You know what they say, after 5 years, a business is actually running. So 10 years, you mean you're actually surviving.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. So thank God for that.
Well, let's talk about the Living Room Network. Mm-hmm. That's really what we came here to really touch base on. Can you tell us about the Living Room Network?
Yes. The Living Room Network is it's exactly that. It's a network of people, and the facility that we have, it's set up, it's built and designed to be your living room. Everybody, I named it the living room because everybody has that space in their home. It doesn't matter if you live in a studio apartment or a mansion in Calabasas, you have a living room. And in the living room, it's where it's very casual. Real things happen at the living room. You deal with things in your family. You know, if somebody dies, you gather together in the living room and you cry and you mourn, you grieve. You know, you think about your birthday parties where your mom and dad move the couches and we have a dance in the living room, you know.
Wow.
And everybody has, in my opinion, I feel like that's where real life is lived. And so God just put it on my heart to create a place for the community to have a living room. Okay. To where all people from all different walks of life can come to the living room and just be a person. You know, you don't have to be a celebrity. You don't have to be educated or uneducated. It doesn't matter. You're just another human being at the living room. So we invite, you know, we exist to be the living room for the valley, you know.
I think that's very important. I mean, having that kind of culture and that kind of unity.
Yeah, you know, thank you.
How did that begin, by the way?
Again, out of being hard-headed. in 2008, my wife and I, we were just kind of going through a transition. We were serving in ministry, serving in a church, and God just really put it on our hearts to have people in our home. I come from one of those families where we have Sunday dinner. So Sunday dinner has been going on in my life since I was a little boy, even through college.
Wow.
You know, I had roommates and we would have Sunday dinner every Sunday. And so when I got married in 07, my wife was kind enough to allow me to continue to have Sunday dinner. And we just got an agreement on that. And so we had Sunday dinner in our home every Sunday. And people would come over after church and different people from the community, from the barbershop, whatever, would just come through and we would eat together. And everybody would just be like, man, I'm going to the living room, you know, as if our home was their living room. And then when it came time to pay the mortgage, they wouldn't know where to be found. And so God just really put it on my heart and showed me that it was bigger than my circle of friends. Mm-hmm. And that this was something that was necessary for the community of faith and a community of young people who are just trying to be, you know, trying to be mobilized into their dreams. And so so I set out on this journey to start the Living Room Movement.
Well, so how long did it actually take you to build the congregation?
It's still building, you know. and really conceptually, I don't look at it in terms of congregation and, you know, where it's like pastor and congregation. I look at it as a family, you know what I mean? To where the living room is where the common ground is. In the Bible, you know, it says that the ground is level at the foot of the cross. You know what I mean? And I believe that a living room physically is where common ground are established. If you, okay. You know, if you're the president of the United States and you come over, you sit on my couch in the living room, you're just the dude that's sitting on the couch. You know what I mean? Not to demean anybody, but just to really have a natural, organic human experience.
Exactly.
To build that, it was instantaneous because it's built in us. Mm-hmm. When you're born, you have the desire to have human contact, you know, and everybody has that. So anyone that comes through those doors, man, they're part of the living room and they leave their mark. If they come once or they come, you know, every week, they're still welcome and they're intertwined in the fabric of the living room.
And I definitely have to say that. As a matter of fact, one of our other radio hosts here, Nia, I don't know if you remember her name. I think her name is Nia. I forgot her last name there. Don't get mad at me, Nia. But
sorry, Nia.
She wanted to basically say hi to you. You know, I mean, she'll probably be around right before you leave. So if you do see her, you know. But she's been wanting to come as well. She feels like, just like I do, you feel like you're missing that community, that connection, you know, and the fact that it is a living room environment and the fact that, you know, we do study the word there.
Yeah.
You know, which is my next question. When did you start studying the word in the living room? I noticed.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So the living room, in our mission statement, it says that we're a response to a generation that's crying out for help and for change. And it's our way of taking responsibility for those people. And And I firmly believe, man, that life, your life in faith and your life in the Word of God is what gives you life, you know. And so at these Sunday dinners, every 2 weeks, we would just begin to do a Bible study. And then from there, it start to go and we'll start singing praise and worship. And then other times we'd pray for each other. And this community was just being built and all centered around the Word of God, you know. And to where it's not my opinion versus yours or my lifestyle versus yours. It's simply the Word, and it speaks for itself. So every Saturday at the Living Room, you have a chance to come and be a part of the community of faith where we get into the Word of God. We have a service. We have praise and worship. And then there's various other things. I think we're going to get into that later about other places to plug in at the Living Room. But every Saturday is the place, man, that's completely devoted to getting into God's Word.
Now, I got a question about that. I mean, did you find other locations before, or you just stayed in the Living Room? In living rooms, or did you go to other people's living rooms and start, you know, reaching out to the community?
Oh,
know?
Man, it's been a long journey. We're getting ready to move into our fourth year of existence. But when we started, we were renting out a small cafe over in Studio City on Ventura Boulevard, and actually was just there weekly. And their church, a church owned the cafe, and they moved over to Sherman Oaks. And you know, they were kind enough to allow us to go with them. And we were just believing God the whole time, you know, that we would have our own space, because when you're renting from somebody, obviously you want to keep their space as clean and as possible and treat it better than you would your own, but you just don't have as much access. So if we want to stay all night and, you know, eat or have food or pray or have a rehearsal for a concert, practice music or film something, whatever the case, it came at a huge cost. So now we're blessed enough to have our own space, and we're doing our best to, you know, to maintain that space and grow it accordingly for the people here in the Valley.
Speaking of having that space, you hold other events there. So what kind of other events do you hold at the Living Room?
Yeah, at the Living Room, on a regular basis, we have a very vibrant class on Thursday nights, Thursday Night Talks. And Thursday Night Talks is the platform for people of all walks of life to get together and discuss things that are relative to today's culture. And this past year, we looked at our hot ones was the relationship series, God's View on Marriage. Mm-hmm. Then we did a Sex Ray Vision, which was a deeper look at sex and what it actually means, you know, both biblically and naturally. We had some Detective Michael Bronx come out. He's an investigator for sex crimes here in the area, and he came and he talked at our class. We did a reality series, you know, what is your actual reality? And those are all on Thursday Night Talk. So people from all over come, and we just get together, and we have a very focused discussion. That's every Thursday at the Living Room. And also on every first Friday, we do a musical variety show, and this is to reach out to all the creative people out there who write poetry, who do music. Every first Fridays is your platform to come and just share your experience to all the people in the Valley, even the celebrities and stuff who have to perform, you know, a certain thing for their fans, and God bless them for their fans. But sometimes they want to let their hair down and just do something that they're, you know, maybe a new song or try doing some other things outside of their set. So it's open for everybody, man. We are looking forward to having you come out, being a part of our audience, as well as being a part of our stage, man. There's some people out there who's got a performer in them and don't have a place to perform. So we built the stage, and you bring the talent, and we just have a great time together every first Friday. And if we have the time, I would like to promote that this month, it's Unity Month at the Living Room. And so what we're focusing on this October, every October is Unity Month. But this October, we're really making sure that we get out of the house, getting out of the living room. And so we're doing, I'm calling them hot spots all over the city, where we're doing flash mob style of praise and worship. Wow. So next week we'll be at Mission Church doing a homeless feed on October 10th. We'll be feeding the homeless, having praise and worship. We'll be I'll be ministering the word that night. I'll be preaching the word that night. Then the following week we'll be at the Orange Line in North Hollywood, and we're going to get on the buses and just see what the people need. We're going to be praying for people out there. You never know. I might bust out my guitar. We'll be singing praise and worship. We're going to Penn's Bowling Alley on Ventura Boulevard to just fellowship with each other. So we're really making an effort to live outside of the living room and bring more life into the Valley, man, and just see the Valley's people and be able to learn how to serve them and, you know, just really be a support.
And I mean, you've motivated me a few dozen times. I mean, just to be honest, me and my sister, by the way, you know, she came out to your shows, showed me about My First Fridays in the first place, and she performed at several of them.
Yeah, she's awesome, by the way.
Oh, thanks. I say the same thing every day, you know, but she's, between you two, have motivated me to perform and start doing my music again. And I've noticed not just that, it's not just singers and poetry being done at My First Fridays. There's comedy, mm-hmm. there's dance, there's all kind of events. So, yes. I mean, you really are tapping, it seems like from all the angles, tapping into every section of the community.
Yes, and the My First Fridays improv team, they're looking for new improv actors. So for all you actors that are out there that do improv, man, we would love to have you come on down so we can build a network of improv acting, you know, and get your chops up, come and share some comedy with us. And those moments are so pure and funny when you are watching something that's developed right in front of your very eyes.
What nights did they rehearse?
There's no rehearsal. It's improv.
You get
there and whatever comes out. I just hope it's good.
What day is that?
Well, we invite them to come to the show on First Fridays.
Oh.
And if you are responding to this call here on the radio, just come and say, hey, I heard you on the radio yesterday. I want to get down with the improv team and I'll introduce you to my lovely wife who is heading that up, man. And improv is just, it's a great time.
Wow. You know, speaking of that, you know, your wife's a performer.
She's a performer, man. She's awesome. I love her dearly. And I'm going to just say, Danielle, this is just for you. I don't care about these people listening. I care about you, and I love you. All right. I just had to have that moment. When she listens to it, that moment's going to be really special, I hope. Right?
It always is. Every time I've heard you say that,
yeah,
it's always been a glow that shines back. So, by the question, though, how did you two meet?
Oh, man, believe it or not, we met in junior high school. She was walking through the hallway with, like, the cross colors, thing on, and I was probably 95 pounds, and I was like, oh, man. I'm going to marry you. I told her this. I'm 12 or 13 years old or something. And, so we met in junior high school. I was good friends with her brother. And I probably asked him every day to try to hook me up with his sister. And you know, you see what happened now. So I guess it worked in the long run, but she wasn't trying to hear me.
Well, I say congratulations. And from the looks of it, with the My First Fridays and with the Living Room Network, with everything you guys have been doing for the past 10 years, you know, you guys have really been working in the community, staying together, working together, and making a family out of us, you know,
yeah,
all around
man,
us.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And we look forward to expanding the family, you know. And I think that's one of the things that that the Valley has is, you know, when you go to other parts of Southern California, you don't see the community that you do in San Fernando Valley, you know. We talk to our neighbors. We turn friends into family. You know, we turn strangers into acquaintances, and just progressively grow until you know our contact can be something that's useful to build this community up again.
Yeah. Now, I just, as we talk about My First Fridays and talk about the Living Room Network, I've seen several faces come through there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want to necessarily put people out on Front Street, but there may be some names that, you know, I mean, that have actually encouraged you in your work because they've come by the Living Room and because they've come by My First Fridays and performed. Are there any names that you can mention right now that, you know, that have been to the shows that?
Yeah. Man, I could think of a few. Kevin Hart is one that sticks out to me, man. I remember, Kevin would come down. This one, we would do the show at the barbershop and he would come and he performed there, and it was just like, wow, to see what he's doing in his life now. I don't even know if he would even remember those days because he was working so much. But just to see his success and his platform now, it just, you know, it's an honor to have shared a small part of that journey. I think of my sister, my friend, Amber Riley, who you guys should catch her right now on Dancing with the Stars. Oh, my goodness. She's amazing. I remember she was in high school, and her mom would drive her down to the show to sing, and she was such a great singer. And, you know, my family just fell in love, and we adopted her, you know, as a little sister over this one summer. We were living in Montebello, and she would come and spend time with my wife, and we just love her dearly. But to see the hard work that she's put in and the platform that she has now. Most people know her from the show, the Fox show Glee, and she did a phenomenal job on there. And I was very supportive of her on Glee. I'm like, oh, I support you. She's like my little sister. Man, on Dancing with the Stars, I'm completely a fan. I'm blown away by what by what Amber Riley can do out there. So she's been very instrumental. I've had some other friends, Common, who's come through, and I know him from other arenas, but just to have him come and support the show and be there, Eric Roberson, Kenny Lattimore, these guys who – you know, who come out and support the show. Molly Music comes out and has made the place a home for himself to come out and perform. So it inspires me to reach more people and not to be limited by what they do on a regular basis, but give them a home as well. That's what the living room is for, so they can always feel at home.
You know? Now, I've also, I remember one service you were saying that there are professional musicians out here. Mm-hmm. And some of the professional musicians, you know, we tend to be a little late, a little tardy.
A little tardy.
Yeah, you were talking about one of the brothers in the service. He was a drummer, as a matter of fact. He was always there on time, and he lives out of state.
Yes.
You know, and he comes to your service.
Yes.
I didn't know his name. I just wanted to give him props for, you know.
Oh, yes. His name is Dennis McCray, man, mm-hmm. and he's an awesome friend of mine. He's actually CSUN alumni as well. We met at CSUN, and we were playing for the CSUN Gospel Choir. And he heard that I started the ministry. He lives in Las Vegas, and he travels here every week to be with us at the living room. And it just really shows, man, how far friendship can go and how far a human connection can go when you really are committed to doing a cause that's greater than yourself. So that's awesome that you remember that. And, and he'll be here this weekend, so I'll make sure that he hears this.
Good, good. Yeah, wow. So where do you see? I mean, what kind of plans do you have for, the living room. Start with the living room, since we got so many different.
Yeah. Well, the living room. I want to bring it to your living room. You know, in each city and parts of the San Fernando Valley, people open up their homes on a weekly basis to have, you know, just a fellowship in their living room and a Bible study in their living room. And the ultimate goal is to have that across the whole state. And then maybe, annually we'll do a living room conference to where people from the living room in Oakland can meet the people from Bakersfield and San Diego and the big conference. And we could just hear about the awesome community growth that is happening because of the living room movement.
Amen. Amen. So what do you plan as far as My First Fridays or for, as far as the acting and the shows, the extracurricular activities?
Yeah. Awesome. We want to definitely take the production to the next level. We hope to land a corporate sponsor soon to where we can have more finances to produce a quality show and continue bringing the Valley this high quality of entertainment. So possibly another venue, possibly, you know, shows in the park. You never know. You know, maybe we'll build an amphitheater here in the Valley. I would love to do a show. And if the people at CSUN or here at Pierce College are listening, I would love to do like a New Year's Eve extravaganza, like a music extravaganza, where we bring the whole Valley together, give them that same living room warm welcome, and just have a First Friday on New Year's Eve. Wow. And so where everybody can bring in a new year together, man, being positive, looking forward for what God would do in the coming year.
Well, speaking of that event, how can people find My First Fridays?
People can find My First Fridays through a few different mediums. You can
What's the address first?
The address is 7647 Havenhurst Avenue, and we're right there in Van Nuys, 7647 Havenhurst Avenue. You can visit our website at myfirstfridays.net. And all the social media platforms, we're there as well on Facebook at My First Fridays. And the Twitter feed is at My First Fridays. So we're oversaturating you with the My First Fridays because it's yours. You know what I mean? So
exactly.
So come on out and check us out, visit us, and we would love to see you.
Is there a phone number where they can reach you, My First Fridays, anything like that?
There's no phone number besides your phone number.
Okay.
You know,
no problem.
Would give out my cell phone number, but I'm not going to do that this time. But if you have it, go ahead and call me. You know, I'll tell you where it's at.
Well, great. Thanks for coming, Kelvin.
Thank you so much for having me, and I look forward to coming back. It's always a pleasure.
Man, that's Pastor Kelvin Truitt, pastor of the Living Room Network. And, you know, I don't even know what to call you. Director of My First Fridays? Is that
Director, producer, fan? I don't know. I'm just the guy that's there, just ready to serve this community, man. So I'm glad to be here and grateful to be here.
Well, thanks again. And stay tuned next week for more Inside the Brahma Box. This is Mario Lawson signing off for KPCRadio.com.